Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Strang Report. I'm Steve Strang. Thanks for listening. Today, I'm paying tribute to Jamie Buckingham, who is a great writer, a great Christian leader, and a man who totally influenced my life. I've written about him many times, but I've never done a podcast. I just wanted to share from my heart what this great man meant to me. Now, today's a significant day because it was 25 years ago today that he passed away from the complications of cancer shortly before his 60th birthday. He was such a great man that we actually named our multipurpose meeting room at our headquarters in his honor. So every day I'm in and out of Buckingham Hall. It was just my way to show him appreciation for the great impact he had on my life. Today I wrote my Strang Report newsletter about him, and I posed this question. The headline says, "What would you do if you knew you could not fail?" And that was a question that Jamie posed to me very early in our relationship, and it really caught me off guard because I realized that I didn't have an answer. I was thinking too small. I was struggling. I had a lot of insecurities. I had almost no money. I didn't know which way to go. But he helped me to clarify that, and I decided that what I wanted to do was to serve God by being a Christian journalist and publisher and publishing magazines at the time, and of course now books and a lot of other things. So in some ways, I am living out the dream that started way back then. Jamie had an enormous impact on my life. He was my friend and mentor. He started writing a column in Charisma magazine. It was on the inside back page. We called it The Last Word, and people would read it first in the magazine. He was a very, very popular author, and he had wit and humor. He also had a very direct style. He wasn't afraid of people. He wasn't intimidated by some of the big ministries with their big egos and how pompous they were. He upset some of these people. But, you know, there were legions of readers who appreciated. He was like a breath of fresh air, standing for righteousness, for what was right, for biblical truth, and also challenging Christians not to be small-minded, not to be mean, not to be hypocritical. And isn't that something that we could learn from today? So as I shared about Jamie Buckingham and my relationship with him, I wanted to encourage my readers, and I'll encourage you, to just ask yourself, if you knew you could not fail, if you knew you could not fail, what would you do? I think that that really helps us to clarify. And of course, the scripture says that through Christ, we can do all things. The scripture says that if we have faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, we can speak to this mountain and it could be moved into the sea. And so I believe that the Word of God backs up that you need to dream big dreams. You need to have big visions. You need to believe that God has set you apart for something special. Now, today on our website, which is charismamag.com, we run articles and inspirational things, and today we are running 5 articles by Jamie, written more than 25 years ago, in which one of them says, the original article was, "Look out, world, I'm me," and another one is, when he got a blood clot, he realized that God was telling him to slow down. I mean, these are things that are as timely today as when he wrote them, and I hope you'll go on our website and read some of his articles. Also, we have some links to his ministry website that is now run by his son, Bruce Buckingham, who is, of course, a longtime friend and continues to be a friend. And they have a lot of Jamie's materials, which, frankly, over the years had gone out in print, and they brought them back in digital form. Jamie died in 1992, just before the internet started. He would have loved the internet. It would have been so immediate. He would have been prolific. He was prolific already. But, you know, I just wonder sometimes what would have happened if we had had some of the technology back then. But anyway, on his website, you can go on there and get free downloads of a lot of his books. Bruce Buckingham and his wife, Michelle, who is also, of course, a longtime friend, has made these things available. And I hope that you will take advantage of them. I hope that you will be inspired as I've been inspired. Well, there's a lot more I can tell you about Jamie Buckingham. So after this word from our sponsor, I'm going to come back and tell you a very funny story on how a Christian leader gave him a, quote, award for being the biggest feather plucker in the body of Christ. And I'll also tell you and how meaningful it was to make a pilgrimage to Mount Sinai with Jamie Buckingham in 1979. So stay tuned.
Prepare to experience an uplifting summer getaway like no other. Filled with inspiration and empowerment, Woman Thou Art Loosed and Manpower at MegaFest are back in Dallas, Texas from June 28th to July 1st, 2017. These two symposiums are packed with encouragement, motivation, and insight that will refresh you and revolutionize your life. If you're looking for uplifting words for the soul and thought-provoking seminars that will embolden you for the future, receive all of this and more at Woman Thou Art Loosed and Manpower at MegaFest 2017. With all this and more, it's no wonder that MegaFest is primed to be the best family vacation experience of 2017. So save some cash and register yourself and your entire family today at www.mega-fest.com. That's www.mega-fest.com. Or call 1-800-BISHOP-2. MegaFest. It's more than a festival. It's an experience. And now, back to our show.
Well, welcome back. And I'm just reminiscing about Jamie. You know, he influenced me in so many ways. I considered him my friend and mentor. I was devastated when he passed away just short of his 60th birthday. After I'd only known Jamie a year or so, he invited me to go on a pilgrimage to Mount Sinai on the Sinai Peninsula. At the time, it was owned by the Israelis. They have since passed it back to Egypt. And I had never been outside of North America. I had crossed over into Canada and Mexico, but only to just kind of say I'd done it. I didn't even stay overnight. I'd never been on a transatlantic flight, of course. And we went to Israel. We actually, he had a lot of friends. We went to a thing called Project Kibbutz, which was actually on kibbutz. It was Christians serving Israelis in order to show them the love of the Lord, but not actually proselytizing them. He also knew some professors and some archaeologists and was able to get us into some digs near the Temple Mount, digs that I've been back to and have been developed very much, and they even have kind of a museum there. And we were there in the early, early days. These were not open to the public at the time. Tourists couldn't get in. I didn't really even understand the significance of what I was seeing. Of course, I was kind of overwhelmed by the whole thing. And we didn't do a lot of touring around Jerusalem, but we did visit certain sites. And it was very, very memorable. And then we drove in a van down to a lot. It took us almost a whole day down through the Negev Desert. And we slept in sleeping bags along the Gulf of Aqaba, which is what the Arabs and most people call it. The Gulf of Elat is what the Israelis called it. And we began our pilgrimage into the desert. We were actually there for 9 to 10 days. We slept, as I said, in sleeping bags. You know, it doesn't rain. There's basically no water at all. We slept under the stars. And we formed a sense of community. Jamie taught us. We visited several sites. One of them I remember was a place called Sarabit El Kadim. And I'm hoping I'm saying it right after all these years. But it was kind of a mountain, and they had a cave. And in the cave, they had some examples of proto-Sinaitic writing, early, early form of the alphabet. Because you remember the Egyptians had hieroglyphics, and it was morphing over into the alphabet. And that was so interesting to me as a writer and as a journalist. I remember that they told us that the word for M was meme, or maybe mime. And they showed us how it was the word maybe for water or waves, and that the up and down of the M was actually to show kind of the waves. That would have been kind of in hieroglyphics. And it kind of morphed into our letter M. And I'm probably not saying it very well, but maybe you can kind of get the gist of it. And to remember that I was there in 1979, it was a long time ago, and yet I still remember today. And I also remember that there were on the walls of the cave a couple of sentences that had been translated. And one of them had something to do with commerce. It was like, you know, so-and-so is selling so much of something to somebody else. You know, it was just kind of like a record. And the other thing that was written was, God is eternal. And it was just interesting to me that at the very, very early days of writing, which, of course, has become my life's work, that, you know, those were the two things that were written on the wall of the cave that we visited. We also went on the mountain overlooking the Valley Rephidim, where Aaron and Hur held up Moses' arms and prayed, and each of us had to pose as we held up each other's arms. We, of course, had a time of prayer there as we did throughout the desert. And then finally, we climbed the mountain called Jebel Musa. That actually means the mountain of God. There, we found out that there are several mountains that different people think are Mount Sinai, but this is the one that most Protestants have accepted. Most scholars believe that that's the one, and we climbed it. I found out that a monk in the 15th century had spent his life fashioning what they called a stairway to heaven. And actually what he did was he kind of moved boulders so that you could kind of walk up it. It's not really steps like you're used to, but you can kind of climb from one to another. So it's a very, very difficult hike, but you can hike it. Had this man not done it, there would have been some cliffs where you would have had to have rappelled, and it would have been very difficult. But pilgrims, tourists climbed it as we did. We camped as far up as we could. We got up about 4 a.m. while it was still dark. It was very cold, I remember, in the desert. We climbed it very early in the morning so we could get up at the top about sunrise and sit there and think and pray. We had read the first 5 books of the Bible called the Pentateuch. We had studied the scriptures each day as we went up the mountain. And I remember sitting at the top of the Jebel Musa, sitting at the very top, the very apex there, and reading the Ten Commandments and believing and thinking about this is probably the place where the Ten Commandments were given, or if it wasn't here, it was close. And of course, that's changed all of history, and it's the law by which, you know, God told man to live. And of course, later we believe that God fulfilled the law through Jesus Christ. But I'm just sharing with you some of the things with Jamie. There's so many memories. They come flooding in, and they're good memories. I remember one time that my friend Mike Evans, who is still good friends with me, in fact, this week we emailed about something, and I reminded him that this was the 25th anniversary of Jamie's death. He also went to the Sinai with Jamie on a different trip, because Jamie went 2 or 3 different times. And Mike is a wonderful man, and of course, he has developed a great ministry and also this wonderful museum in Jerusalem called the Friends of Zion. And if you have never visited it, you really need to. But, you know, Mike and I are about the same age. I think he's maybe a couple years older than I am. And Jamie was also a mentor to him. And like I said, Mike is wonderful. But, you know, Mike did some things that Jamie kind of poked fun of in writing. And I'm just kind of guessing that it bothered Mike all those years, because he went to a taxidermist and he got a great big turkey. And he had the taxidermist pluck all the feathers except on the train. And the train, the tail feathers on the turkey were in full extension, if that's what it's called. And Mike presented it to Jamie at a conference, if you can believe it or not. And he said that he presented it to him, to Jamie Buckingham, the greatest feather plucker in the body of Christ. In other words, he was teasing Jamie that Jamie would pluck feathers like this turkey. And he actually gave it to him privately, but it was at a conference. I thought it was so funny. Jamie laughed too, but he wanted to leave it. He didn't want to take it on the airplane with him. So somehow or other, I arranged to have a ship down to Florida. I talked to some of Jamie's elders at his church, which was the Tabernacle over in Melbourne, about 80 miles from where I live. And I told him what was going on, and they thought it would be funny. So I drove over there. And, you know, Turkey's pretty big, and I had to sit it in the passenger seat and seat belted in. And you should have seen the faces of people on the highway when they would pass me and they would see that thing sitting there. It was hysterical. And then we arranged to have it in the church. We had something covering it up, and they had a wonderful time of worship, as I recall. It was a great church. I always enjoyed going over there and kind of regretted that I lived so far away that I couldn't really be a part of that community of believers. But after they had had this time of worship, and then they had a few announcements, and then they invited me to come up and speak, and you know, I gave them a greeting, and I told them a little bit about Mike Evans and presenting this, and I guess we had a sheet on it or something. I took it off, and those people laughed until their sides hurt. It was the funniest thing. And, you know, normally you wouldn't do that in a service, but it was all in good fun. And I believe that the Lord has a real good sense of humor. And so I just thought that I would share these couple of stories about Jamie Buckingham, a funny one, some serious ones, just to let you know my thoughts. I didn't even put these things in my column, but they kind of came to me as I came into the studio, and I thought you would enjoy it. So with that, I'll wrap up this edition of the Strang Report. I thank you for listening. I urge you to share with others the Strang Report on social media. And if somebody sent this to you, I hope you subscribe and get my every so often podcasts. I tend to do a couple a week, and I think you'll enjoy them. So I encourage you to subscribe and stay tuned. And with that, I'll sign off. Thank you for listening to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Steve Strang.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.